I still want to do the countdown clap.
Yeah,
3, 2, 1.
Click.
Clapping to myself.
Hey, gentle listeners. We know you were expecting to listen to Teen Witch this week. However, because of our experience at Obsessed Fest, we ended up deciding to do a bit of a rehash on that this week. We know that's completely different than what we typically do. So if you're not interested and want to just tune in next week, we will be back to our regular programming.
But if you want the tea on what went down, and we're not just talking about all the gossip around Joey and Ellen and Patrick and Jillian, we were there in the trenches with the other attendees, figuratively speaking. But, you know, there was a vibe and there was a feeling, but we're just wanting to give it to you from the perspective of people that were actually there. There was a lot of a mixed bag, and we want to share what we felt and our experience.
Yes. Thank you, Tamara, for representing.
This podcast may contain language that's not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Today we're going over nothing except the hellacious dumpster fire that was Obsessed Fest 2023. Yes.
Are you ready for One Dry Kiss?
Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our cussy irreverent love letter to rom-coms, where instead of rom-coms today, gentle listeners, we're deviating from our regularly scheduled programming this week just because we are here, we are fresh off Obsessed Fest, and Corinne, would you like to take us home on what we'd like to do on this episode?
A lot of you may be completely out of the loop on this, and you may want to join us next time. Some of you may be listening just to hear this. We are covering Obsessed Fest, the convention that we went to and
are still currently at. We're at the Omni Hotel, radiating in the glow of what the fuckery that just happened over the last few days.
I am here with my beautiful co-host, who is radiating in the fuckery of what just happened over the past few days, along with burping from the Texas barbecue that we just ate, Miss Tamara Cosio.
And I am here with Corinne, the premium swag bag in my life. Not like the shit we got.
Okay, good.
From the actual fest. Corinne Eddy.
Thank you. Yay. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, my goodness. So
I guess we should probably give a recap. Obsessed Fest was a festival that was put on by the Obsessed Network, with True Crime Obsessed and I Think Not being their top tier shows, but they do have quite a few other podcast shows in their arsenal. And this is their second festival where they bring a lot of podcasters and presenters together and cater to all that is true crime and everybody who loves true crime.
And Tamara and I do happen to love true crime.
We do. So Corinne was good enough to get us tickets. And the theory came about.
Yes. Let's start at the very beginning. A very nice place to start. We were in New York together last year. And while we were in New York, Obsessed Fest was going on in another part of the country. And we had FOMO, fear of missing out.
Serious FOMO.
Yes. We were enjoying ourselves wildly in New York. But we were like, Obsessed Fest looks so cool. I want to be one of the cool kids. And so when they released tickets for Obsessed Fest for 2023, I was like, ooh, I'm getting some tickets. And so I got up and as soon as the gate opened or whatever online, I was ready. I was poised. I clicked. I got the deluxe package because I just wanted things to be easy. And I was very excited. I told Tam, I was like, Tam, I got tickets to Obsessed Fest. And Tam, she thought I'd only bought a ticket for myself.
Oh, that's right. You're like, I'm going to Obsessed Fest. And I was like, good for you. Yay. Yeah. I'm so happy. That sounds like really a lot of fun. And she's like, you're going with me. And I'm like, oh, okay. 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 Yeah. I'll do that. Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow. She doesn't seem as excited as I thought she would be. Like,
way to rub it in, Corinne. Yeah. Just get that. Just brag and just shove it in my face and smear it around. That's real good.
So we were particularly excited to see Let's Go to Court.
Yes, but we are also avid true crime obsessed, yes, and I think not listeners.
Yes.
I also was very excited to see the Wine and Crime Gals, mm-hmm, and in a lot of the other forums, because they had a lot of interesting things that they were offering and
absolutely
some fun events. So we started getting more and more and more excited about the event as it drew closer and closer until a few weeks ago when there were some titters of discontent on Reddit and some Facebook groups that the two top tier shows on the Obsessed Network, which is True Crime Obsessed, hosted by Jillian Pensavalle and Patrick Hines. I can't say it unless I sing. Jillian Pensavalle.
Patrick Hines. Da-da-da.
Had a falling out with Ellen Marsh and Joey Toronto,
yeah,
who are the hosts of I Think Not.
Yes.
And it was just hearsay. It was whispers in the wind. It was like, is it true? Is it not true? Is it going to blow over?
And Tamara informed me all of this. I was living in oblivion, sweet, blissful, doe-eyed oblivion. And she's like, do you know what's going on? And I'm like, being an amazing person. And she says, no. I mean, with True Crime Obsessed and I Think Not. And I was like, no, what's going on? And she's like, here, let me send you the link.
I saw it on Reddit.
Yes, she did. And
apparently Ellen and Patrick Hines.
Ba-da-da. Yes.
They got into a heated argument over supposedly a music clip that was used on TikTok or some other social media aspect, but that's unfounded. So it's just basically hearsay at this point.
Yeah.
Subsequently, there was gossip around Patrick taking away the I Think Not show off of the Obsessed Network.
In the new year,
or forcing Ellen and Joey to purchase it from him for an exorbitant amount of money.
Right. And then later, hearsay was Patrick trying to sell I Think Not to a different podcast network.
Yes.
So all of these things are conjectures. Who really knows? Well, we know who knows.
Yes, we
Patrick,
do.
Ellen, Joey, a lot of people in the Obsessed Network know. However, Jillian knows. We don't know for sure any of that business, but we do know it was all fucking drama. That's what we know.
Yes, and I felt very apprehensive about coming to Obsessed Fest because on True Crime Obsessed, Patrick was singing this festival's praises for months and months, the whole year practically. Since the first Obsessed Fest, he was selling the second Obsessed Fest and talking about what a community it is, what a great function it's going to be, how you can come by yourself and you will find friends because everybody looks out for everybody and everybody like kind of takes care of each other.
Actually, all of that.
Very true. We yes. found that to be very true with the community, the actual attendees. Yes. But he's a head honcho touting this, and this is his mantra. Like, we are a community that takes after and looks mm-hmm. after each other.
And we are accountable to each other.
Right.
Like, that a lot of his messaging, his and Jillian's messaging on their podcast is around, you know, it's important to be accountable about things.
Yes. And they're advocates for, like, safe spaces. And well,
yeah.
Anyways, so I was apprehensive, but Corinne was thoroughly, like, confident that things were going to go per
usual. Yeah. She interpreted me as being thoroughly confident that things were going to go per usual. I thought that Ellen and Joey would still be at Obsessed Fest.
Yes.
And I did not know how any of this other stuff was going to shake out. And some of the rumors, which we aren't going to mention, just sounded, like, kind of petty and ridiculous. And
yes.
And some of them sounded like they had more merit. And so I was just like, you know what? They're not supposed to leave until the new year. According to these rumors, who knows if they're even true. I'm just sitting back with my popcorn waiting to see how things pan out. But I said, I definitely think Ellen and Joey are going to be there because, as you said, I Think Not is one of their top podcasts. And also, they're performers. Their game, they're like, this is our obligation. We're going to do it. Like, that's kind of their mentality.
And we were sure they wanted to be here for the fans. But
yes.
I was, as the days were ticking by, checking the itinerary and the lineup and being like, okay, they're still there.
That was Tamara. Yes.
That was Tamara doing that. Be like, mm-hmm, okay, they're still on the roster. They're still going to do the karaoke. They're still going to do their Q&A. They're still going to do their meet and greet. Great.
And then first shoe that dropped was, because there was all these rumors, thank you Reddit, going around. And as much as True Crime Obsessed tried to squash these rumors, because I never saw hide nor hair of them in the True Crime Obsessed Facebook group, which I was in, and it was just because they never allowed those posts to go out.
Yes. There was a lot of talk about somebody would comment or ask and they would just be instantly shut down.
Yes.
Or kicked off.
Yes.
Or both.
Yes. Depending on what was said or whatever. Yes.
Exactly.
And so I joined the I Think Not podcast group so I could get more tea.
Get the tea.
Yes. And follow what was going on with Joey and Ellen more closely. And ta-da! We found out that in the beginning of October, they became the parents of a bouncy new baby podcast. So I'm sure Patrick and Obsessed Network decided, you know what? We need to nip this in the bud. We're just going to release, I Think Not, whatever they contractually decided on. Mm-hmm. But they realized that the talk was big. They needed to take care of it. Bada bing, bada boom, not that simple. Ellen and Joey now have ownership of I Think Not. Thank you, Blue Eyes and Big Mouth Productions.
And then, but we weren't hearing anything from Ellen, Joey. And so we were like, they probably definitely have an NDA.
Yes.
And then Patrick and Jillian also were mum's the word up until the day of the fest.
Woo. And still during the day of the fest.
Woo.
So this whole drama is hanging over Obsessed Fest. Like, it just cast a pall over the entire thing because there were people who didn't know about it, but
there was more people that did.
Yes. And
people were taking sides.
People were taking sides. And honestly, throughout everything that was going on my end of things, I personally believe people make mistakes. People can get caught up in things. People can say shitty things. People can do shitty things.
Mm-hmm.
Then they can come to Jesus. They can.
Or Buddha or Allah or whoever they believe in.
Whoever. Or no one.
Or no one.
But their own conscience. And they can say, oh my gosh, I messed the fuck up. I have to be accountable.
Right.
And they're definitely, according to some different articles that we read, needed to be some accountability on the part of figurehead Patrick Hines.
Right. But again, he was silent.
Yes, he has remained silent. He has not addressed anything other than to say there are unsubstantiated claims.
Yes. But with all that being said, we would like to speak about our experience here at Obsessed Fest. The good, the bad, the hot, the not. Just because it's from a first person point of view and a lot of people like weren't here to experience the intricacies of the day to day activities and the thoughts and feelings of the people and attendees that were here.
Yeah, it's complicated.
It was very complicated. And we still have very complicated feelings about the whole thing.
Yes. Amen.
So Corinne got here Thursday night. Would you like to tell about your check-in experience?
Thursday. I'm excited. I'm a premium celebrity. I get to do early registration. I'm promised a swag bag. And I know that Tamara loves a swag bag.
I love a swag bag.
So I'm like, ooh, this is going to have some fun stuff in it. And it's going to have a bunch of crap I don't care about in it. But
it's going to have fun stuff for me.
Yes. And, you know, there's going to be samples of things in there. And, like, I've been to lots of different conventions, and my swag bags have frequently had lots of different samples of things and stuff like that. I get the swag bag, and I was like, so is there anything else?
I'm like, premium celebrity. Do you realize I'm supposed to get the exclusive?
Premium celebrity.
Premium
celebrity.
Celebrity.
I did not wear the sash for nothing. And they're like, no, you get the tiny nylon backpack that doesn't even feel like there's anything in it. But there is. Don't you worry. There's swag in that bag.
Swag.
And I was like, oh, okay, thank you. Also thought that we were going to get books while we were there because we went to Patrick's book signing and we got books delivered to us. Thought they were for Patrick's book signing. They weren't. They were actually from Amazon, sent to us for Obsessed Fest.
So we were supposed to bring the books with
us. Right. Which was a surprise.
Mm-hmm. And so, we did not, just to be clear.
So bring the bag back, open it up. Oh, wow. It's a tiny plastic cup. And there is a nice celebrity pin in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't really impressed with anything that was in there. But you know what? I was noble. I was like, Tamara, I'm going to let her dig into her swag bag and see how she feels about things. And I set it on its own little special area.
Not before I called her to tell her I was on my way. And she's like, would you believe what's in this fucking swag bag? Like, I have seen better at free functions for charity. I'm like, true. Oh.
Yes. Tamara, what happened when you opened your swag bag? Were you blown away with your premium celebrity swag bag experience?
Well, before we go there, like another aspect of the check-in process that we weren't aware of is as we were speaking to other attendees, we found out that many attendees got to choose friendship bracelets.
That was the next day. Yeah.
But you were a premium celebrity that got early admittance, but you would think that you would have
friendship bracelets,
but you did not.
No.
So I saw the swag bag and I was like, okay, I will probably not use any of this stuff. The cup is cheap. It's pink. It says totally obsessed. The pin was very cute. I can't even think of what else. There was a missing person flyer in there.
Yes, that was nice.
There was, but then somebody made a very valid point that they always talk about how a lot of attention is given to white, straight females, and they could have done a myriad of missing people flyers. They could have done...
Oh, I thought there was a myriad. There's not...
There's just one.
Oh,
there is one missing flyer. Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. And I don't... It's so unremarkable that I can't remember what else is in there. I think there might have been like a sticker, perhaps. I mean, the whole thing probably cost like $3.95 to make. Anyways...
Yeah. I mean, the most expensive thing in there was the pin, which was nice, that said Leopardy. And that was that was it.
Yeah.
And the pink cup, while larger than a shot glass, not much larger than a shot glass. So
I'm
really
probably going to leave that here.
Oh, I'm leaving it there. I'm leaving my entire swag bag behind.
Okay. I'm going to keep it for posterity and good memories. And then the next day, bright and early, we woke up to attend the introduction ceremony that was held in the main stage, which is the largest venue.
How exciting.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
We got to sit in the front because of Corinne's premium celebrity status and me as our hanger-on.
You were a premium celebrity as well.
By association.
Please.
So we got to sit in the front, which was nice. And the place was, it was very well attended.
Yes.
But Patrick came on. There was actually a lot of dancers that were going to be performing at the drag brunch at the end of the...
Which was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were there. They were very entertaining. They were very lively, made me want to dance.
Yes.
So they danced us into the intro. Patrick, Steve, and two other people that I didn't even recognize that they introduced came onto stage. And they talked about the event in... kind of vague terms, just more or less what to expect, but nothing super specific. They talked about the drag brunch in detail. They talked about the charities that they were helping.
Yeah, so they came onto the stage as well as the one sponsor of the event, which I'm surprised they only had one sponsor of the event, which was Patreon.
Well, somebody said, I'm surprised they had any sponsors of the event because of the ticket sales and the prices and how cheap they were being with everything.
Yeah, well, I mean... The swag, if they'd had more sponsors, we would have had better swag bags. I'll tell you that.
We did get a cool mug, though, and I use cool very loosely.
That was from Patreon, I think.
Ah, okay. But the reason why we're bringing up the introduction is also because last year they said on the first Obsessed Fest, they brought out each and every person that was going to be there, either doing a talk, hosting, or doing a live show.
Yes.
So it was almost more communal, like, and we're introducing blankety blank, who's going to be here for this, and they're just this. And so they definitely did not do that this year.
Yeah, even if not everybody could make it, but they had slides for the people who weren't able to make it, but, you know, could have the other people like climb up on stage and get clapped on. Like, that would have been cool, but they didn't acknowledge anyone in that way.
No. And the whole lackluster thing kind of lasted 20 minutes. I was excited, but I was kind of a little let down because I'm like, yeah, I'm excited for the weekend, but that didn't like really hype me up for anything.
No.
Yeah. And then...
And then we were very excited to go to drag bingo.
Oh, yes. We went to the room. It was very full. Not very full. I told Corinne, and there was about, I want to say, 8 or 9 empty chairs. They had about 20 some odd tables crammed into a very small room. Almost all the chairs were taken except for like 8 or 9 empty ones. And when we tried to walk in with like 3 or other attendees behind us, the lady stopped us and she kind of like stood up and did a really loose head count. And she said, "I'm sorry, there's no room for you guys. Like, try again tomorrow." So that was kind of a bummer. And I was like, "Ah, shit, is this how it's going to be the whole time?" But, you know, you live, you learn, you move on.
And I said, "Don't you know I'm a premium celebrity?" No, I didn't.
She did not. I can vouch for that.
How dare you?
How dare you?
Turn me away. No, I was just like, hey, I wanted to go to the solo travelers meetup anyways, because even though I was not a solo traveler, as Tamara mentioned to me, she's like, "Hello, I am with you. You are not a solo traveler." I was like, "Yeah, but I want to meet people."
Yes. And so we did. And we traveled separately, in fairness. Like, she came from San Francisco. I came from LA. So technically, we are solo travelers. We just met here together.
Yes.
But the solo travelers meeting was a very good time. We met a lot of really nice people there.
Absolutely.
The one bone of contention I have with the solo travelers meeting is that there was somebody that came in late and kind of sat in the back. And she just quietly sat there on her phone for, I want to say, like 5 or 6 minutes, because they had group activities to try to break the ice, like Mad Libs and conversation starting cards. And so I said, "Hey, we're doing Mad Libs. Do you want to come over and you know, join us?"
Yeah.
And the girl's like, "Oh, I was just waiting for it to start." And I said, no, it started.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh, okay, sure." So it would have been nice to have somebody that like saw somebody straggle in and be like, "Hey, you know," to try to fill people in.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't say anything, I imagine she would have been sitting at the back of the room the whole time and been like, "Well, this sucks."
Absolutely.
Because everybody kind of grouped off.
Yeah.
Overall, the solo travelers meet and greet was good. And there was many other things going on at the same time, mm-hmm, simultaneously, that we did not attend and can't speak to.
Yeah. So after the solo travelers meetup, which was lovely, we went to Wine and Crime, the live episode taping, and they were fucking delightful.
Yes. And meanwhile, while we were going from place to place, there was a merch counter that was very well attended every time we passed by. There was, yes, a line snaking around it. And they had all sorts of charities and other things around that you could talk to, which is also very nice when, yeah, you went from place to place.
And we spent some time talking to Fund Texas Choice. Great organization. They help people from Texas get abortions out of state.
Yes. So they finance their trips, their food, their lodging, whatever they may need.
Their childcare.
To get safe.
And legal abortions. Yes. Yes. So yay, Fund Texas Choice. If you're feeling like throwing some shekels somewhere, great organization.
They're doing good work.
Yes.
And then the highlight of the fest, where I could truly go home after, but I didn't want to, but I could have and been happy. Corinne, not so much, because she's the one that paid for the tickets, was the Family Feud game.
I don't know. You gave me the memory of a lifetime with the Family Feud game.
Did I?
Yes.
Mm. Well, again, we were able to sit in the front. We were at the second or third row, I think. And it was the interesting thing about the main stage and the premium celebrity passes was that they had a good 10 to 12 rows in the very front of the stage where you could watch close up to whatever event or happenings you wanted to. But from my point of view, because from the stage, it looked like there was nobody there. Like, you could see the people in the very, very back, but oftentimes the front 10 or 12 rows were empty because not a lot of the premium celebrities were attending every single function and event.
On the main stage.
On the main stage.
I thought it was more like, it was like 4 or 5 rows, but yeah.
I felt like it was more, but you know.
Whatever.
Let's cut the difference. 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Anywho, so we got to sit in the front and it was, you know, it was sparsely attended in the front, but the back was pretty well attended. And I saw an usher. I had gotten a invitation to submit my information to be a contestant on Family Feud, which I did. And I wanted to go on Friday because that is when Kristen and Brandy were going to be there from Let's Go to Court.
Yay!
And since that was my favorite podcast, I wanted to be there on Friday. But Unfortunately, they sent me an additional email that said, "We're full on Friday. Would you like to be a backup on Saturday? If somebody doesn't show up, you might be called." And I said, "Abso-fucking-lutely, sign me up." But we were there on Friday. We were just there to see Kristen and Brandy. And I ballsily, I don't know what else to say, went up to the usher, who was very sweet. And I said, "Excuse me, I was supposed to be on standby for tomorrow, but I'd like to be on standby today if you guys need anybody." And she said, "Did you get an email saying that you were chosen?" And I said, "No." And she goes, "Okay, well, you know, I think we have everything that we need. So, you know, thanks for letting me know." And I was like, "No problem. Just thought I'd put my hat in the ring."
She told Tamara to fuck off, and Tamara came back crying, but it was cool.
She did not. She did not. Absolutely not.
No, everybody was very nice and very polite.
Everybody was very nice. And yeah. So I sat down and I was like, wah, wah, wah.
But I was glad that Tamara shot her
load.
Yeah. Shot her shoot. Yes. Whatever.
And so we were just sitting there chit-chatting with some other very lovely ladies that we met.
Yes.
We were meeting people left and right.
Yes.
Everybody was so fucking friendly. It was unbelievable. There was a sense of community. And
absolutely.
It was everywhere. And so then the usher comes by and she rushes up like kind of excited. And she's like, "You!" And she pointed at me. She goes, "We need somebody. Do you want to play?" And
it was like a fucking movie.
It was a fucking movie. I got up. Like Bob Barker called me on The Price is Right,
yes.
Hooting and hollering and screaming, and ran through the aisles and then went up to the front of the stage and ran across the front stage with my arms pumping.
Yes.
For Jesus.
And say, "Ee!" Yeah, it was exciting. Usually I'm the only one that's screaming, but
I was squealing.
Yeah, she was squealing.
I was squealing.
Time.
Yes.
Yes.
And I got back to, because the whole stage, like they had the big main stage and they had huge black curtains covering the sides of the stage. So you couldn't see what was going on behind the scenes. And I went behind the black curtain and the first person I saw was Brandy. And I went, "Oh my God." And she looked at me kind of sideways and then she turned around because she was probably like, "Who the fuck is this crazy fool that's coming back here like ogling me?" Patrick's husband, Steve, was the host and he was very kind.
Yes.
He was very nice and very welcoming to all the participants and the hosts that were there, because not only was it Kirsten and Brandy, it was Saruthi
and Hannah McGuire and
Maggie Freeling. They were on the opposite team. I got to be on Kirsten and Brandy's team, which is fucking phenomenal. So as we were lined up to go on stage, I was back there for a mere like 2.5 minutes, maybe. Steve was explaining the rules and what we were going to do more or less, which was play Family Feud, like much like it is on TV.
Yes.
Once he stopped talking for a millisecond, I made sure to lean over to Kristen and Brandy and be like, "Oh my God, I love you guys so much. I love your show. I listen to you all the time. I listen to everything. I am here for you." And they were like, "Oh my God, thank you so much." And I thought they were going to like recoil in horror, but they were gracious and wonderful. We went on stage. We basically played a true crime version of Family Feud. We won mostly by default because it was like two rounds where we all went up and answered questions. And in the end, we won. Yay.
Yay.
I can go home happy now and die.
Yeah. And I was super excited because I wanted to be there for Tamara with my pom-poms out for her during her Family Feud moment. And I was concerned that that might not happen, but was very excited that it did. Not only did dreams come true, it did in the most ideal way possible.
Yes. And it was the highlight of our trip and it was a lot of fun. And we saw a lot of people passing in the corridors after that were like, "We saw you. You did great."
Yeah. And I was super excited because Tamara had had her moment and tomorrow I was going to have my moment in karaoke where Tamara was going to cheer me on and
yes.
I was going to have my moment to shine.
Yes. So Corinne also signed up for karaoke and we were very much looking forward to that because I was like, hell fucking yeah, this is our trip. This is our dream. I do my game shows and play games because I'm competitive
yeah.
You get to sing your heart out and we know she hates singing. You know, Corinne.
I haven't even sung once during this entire recording.
You did at the very beginning.
And the middle and yeah. Well, I will continue.
Then, after the Family Feud, we were very excited to go to the Premium Liberty Cocktail Hour, which is where we were able to meet and greet everybody that was doing anything in the fest. So everybody that was here at the festival was going to congregate in a room with all the premium celebrities that wanted to attend, have cocktails, take pictures, have conversations. It was for an hour. We were very excited about it.
So all the podcast hosts were there and
it was awkward.
Okay, let's just start off with the room. It was too small.
It was very small. And bone of contention, biggest bone of contention, we had to pay for our own drinks.
So this is the premium celebrity cocktail party.
Celebrity, celebrity, celebrity.
And these are fucking expensive tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have been to different conventions, that kind of thing, where they have a special like gathering get together. Usually there's at least one drink ticket that's involved in the thing.
There were zero. Cocktails were $11, beers were $7.
And I will tell you that part of my life as a non-drinker is giving people joy by giving them my drink ticket.
And the basis of our friendship is me getting crazy drink tickets.
I was robbed. And so was Tamara.
Times two, apparently. Yes.
But we also, while we were waiting in the drinks line, saw a couple of people in t-shirts.
Yes, that said accountability celebrity. Something like that. It would basically end like duped celebrity or something.
Yeah, duped celebrity. Yeah.
So there was two girls sitting off in the corner by themselves, like kind of talking amongst themselves. And I was like, holy shit, there it is. I was wondering when it was going to come out. And here it is. They both seemed fine. They were kind of keeping to themselves at the moment. We were mingling. We weren't really paying much attention to them.
No.
I did at one point see them both go up to Jillian and have words, but it seemed very amicable, very cordial.
They took pictures with
her. They took pictures. It wasn't like any like animosity.
No.
But so they went up to Jillian. They took pictures. We didn't see anything else that happened with them, but apparently during that premium cocktail hour, one of them wanted to take a picture with Patrick and he refused. And I don't recall seeing Patrick for the latter half of the cocktail hour, but I can't confirm whether I just wasn't paying attention to him being there. But somebody mentioned that he left early, kind of in a huff.
In a huff.
And we did not see him there. So it could very likely be true.
Yeah. And aside from that, and the fact that we were like little fishies, lots of little fishies in a very tiny bowl. We were very excited because we actually got to have some really nice conversations with the ladies from Wine and Crime.
Yes.
And also from the ladies from LGTC.
Let's go to court. Yes.
Including meeting the lovely, the fantastic sister of Kristen, Kyla, who
is now Corinne's best friend that she's going to be starting a podcast with like next month, probably.
Yeah, you know, sorry, Tam, you've been replaced.
I know. I saw it. I saw it manifest right in front of me. I knew it was happening.
I know how to do a long distance podcast, thanks to you.
Yes,
so,
you do. Great. Just get me for experience. Toss me aside. Whatever.
You are going nowhere.
But there was a vibe. There was definitely a vibe in the cocktail hour. And I was attributing it to everybody having to pay for their own drinks.
Mm-hmm.
But alas, I was wrong. And apparently there was more going on under the surface that we did not see firsthand.
Yeah.
But it was felt.
Definitely felt. And I will say that it wasn't like Patrick and Jillian were hanging out next to each other.
No, they were not.
No.
That was also something that was very evident. They seemed to be off in their own worlds. Yeah. Not ignoring each other,
no.
But they were definitely distance and not a lot of conversation or communication between
them. They were gathered together every once in a while for like picture opportunities. But as soon as that was done, it was like separate directions.
Like opposite poles of magnets.
Yes.
Yeah. We also, again, met a lot of lovely people that were just attendees.
Absolutely.
Again, very warm and welcoming community.
And in reference to the drama that was earlier that cast a pall over the entire Obsessed Fest, and I kept on waiting for Patrick to make some kind of announcement about,
Acknowledgement. Anything.
We've made some mistakes, but, you know, we're doing better now. There was none of that. And Ellen and Joey were also at the meet and greet, and they were being lovely and friendly and meeting and greeting people.
Yes. And everything seemed per usual on the surface, very like they were animated. They were happy.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, so glad to meet you on all fronts.
Yeah.
Joey and Ellen and Jillian and Patrick all I do want to say that I think Jillian seemed a little kind of reserved, but I don't know if that's just her personality.
I think that's just her personality.
Yeah, it might just be her personality.
I think that she's kind of introverted, and I think that she needs to, like, not be around a lot of people. And
yes, I did get a lovely picture with Jillian that we will put on our social media.
Yay!
And I will also be putting a lot of other pictures of the event as the things that we're discussing, I will put different descriptions of the things that were happening and what you're looking at.
And including our very exclusive Ellen and Joey prayer circle photo.
Oh, yes. And that is true. You're going to see that.
There was no actual prayer circle. No, it just looks like we're in one.
It just looks like one, yeah.
Okay, so after we were done not getting drunk.
Not getting free cocktails.
Then Tamara was like,
I need to call my man.
Yes. And I was like, how dare you leave me and abandon me? Who's more important? You must choose. No, I actually didn't say
that. And I choose him. I came back to the room and called him.
So she went back to the room. And because the people who did the room block for Obsessed Fest fucked up.
Really bad.
Yeah. Tamara ended up getting locked out of the room. Basically, they only had the room block. They might have had some people for a room block on Thursday, but it was a small number of people. And then Friday through Sunday was a much larger room block at the hotel. So to get the Obsessed Fest rate, I was only able to reserve from, even though I was one of the first people to reserve a room, from Friday through Sunday.
And then had to reserve Thursday much later on down the line.
As a separate room.
Even though they assured her that she could group it together, but it was just a hot mess and it was just frustrating.
So our room key shut off when we were supposedly checked out, even though we did have the room for the rest of the time. Anyways, well, Tamara finally got back into the hotel room. I went and saw the VIP Q&A with I Think Not, and that was lovely. They were gracious. And
did anybody ask about the drama?
I did not catch the very beginning. I know that when I came in, Joey was answering, in short, we are happy to be finally the owners of our own podcast and being able to direct things creatively the way we would like to. Mm-hmm. And that is a perfect answer.
Yes. But so he was giving like the politician response. Which, I mean, I'm not going to fault
him. It's also truthful.
It's also truthful. And if they were under an NDA and had to, things, I think at this point still seemed like they wanted to put the best face forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they don't want to make things shitty for their fans and as well. And so
I wonder if things took the turn at the I Think Not live show because of all those little.
I mean, everybody loved the little.
I know. But then that's kind of like when things got a little more heated, apparently. But anyways, we'll get to it.
And Tamara has more information than this because she has been swimming and wading through Reddit like you would not believe.
I want the tea. I want the hot tea.
She has her bucket of DP popcorn next to her. She's just going for it like doubly. Yeah. So the VIP Q&A was nice. And like, the best part about doing the VIP Q&A was then we got seated first before everyone else, and I was able to save a seat for Miss Tamara for the I Think Not live show.
And that was packed.
Yes.
All of the front rows were taken. I was smushed between Corinne and another lady. It was very well attended.
I will say that I appreciated the venue because their arms did not have chairs on them and I have hips that don't lie. And so I take up a seat and a half, and it was nice being able to not have to worry about chair arms.
Their live show was fucking phenomenal.
Oh, it was fantastic.
It was one of the highlights of this weekend.
Yes.
They started off with a video montage of them singing the Linda Gay song. And they made sure to put emphasis on the L-I-N-D-A.
Of Linda.
Of Linda Gay.
Yes.
They did a lot of singing. They did a lot of dancing. They did a lot of undercurrent jokes about the situation, which said things without saying things. Mm-hmm. But it was not overt, and the audience absolutely got what they were saying because every time they made one of those jokes, there was laughs. So it's not like people were like, what are you talking about?
But it was also playful. It wasn't mean.
It was not mean-spirited whatsoever.
Yeah. They did point out that it was somewhat problematic having Obsessed Fest in Texas.
Yes.
Because of their track record for women's rights.
Trans rights, gay rights. Everybody's rights, yeah. Basically.
Yeah. Problems.
Problems. Problems. Yeah. Problems abound.
Yeah. Like, that's a legitimate criticism.
And a lot of people had that same question throughout the event. Like, why are we in Texas?
Yeah.
Exactly. And I saw on the subreddit threads that some people were saying that people were really touting the nonprofits because they were trying to make up for the fact that they were in Texas. Like, yeah, we're in Texas, but we're here to try to make a difference and benefit the lives that are here in a very small way.
The charities felt like an add-on that they did, but
yes,
they were...
because if there was actually some thought and time put into the charities, they could have had their information in the swag bag. They could have had, you know, them kind of throughout, and it was almost peppered here and there and like an afterthought, definitely an afterthought. Corinne's grabbing her map from Obsessed Fest, which should have been in the swag bag also. We had to get it off a table. God's honest truth. Why wasn't that in the swag bag? That would have been a very easy add-on.
I just want to give a shout out to the two charities specifically that they did fundraising for, which is the Transgender Education Network of Texas and Fund Texas Choice. So they were listed in the Obsessed Fest program brochure, which was not in our swag bags, but we were happy to get.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. So the show was awesome. I want to say that it was, like, again, the highlight of the night.
Yes.
Everybody left happy. It was really upbeat. And I felt like it kind of recharged everyone to have a good time and to know that, you know, this was going to be a great event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That was the end of our evening. We were going to go to a Let's Go to Court separate meet and greet outside of the venue, but I figured we stalked Kristen and Brandy enough.
Yes.
So we decided to come back to the room and swim in the pool for like
half an hour
before they closed.
Yes. And we did get some really nice quality time with Kristen and Brandy during the meet and greet. So
we did. Yeah. That's why we're like, we're going to let everybody else have them for the rest of the evening. Cause we've
we're
done.
We're done.
We're done.
Yeah. Stick a fork in us.
We're done.
Yes. Tamara and I passed out, glad to finally get to sleep after a beautiful night at the pool. And the next morning, we went and we saw the Jean Queen, Shayna Landry.
Yes. And this was on the recommendation of a lot of people that had seen it the prior day.
Yeah.
And said it was a really great forum.
Yeah, and moving forum, yeah.
Which was talking about DNA, and she basically had three or four audience members that submitted their information and were trying to find somebody lost in their lives. Either they were adopted and wanted to know who their mom was, their father was adopted and he wanted to know who his father was so they could investigate that side of their family tree and so on and so forth. So it was along those lines. And so we were excited to go to it, and it was interesting, but it was a little hard to follow.
Yeah.
And she did go really in depth into her research and her processes.
Yeah. Shayna was obviously very knowledgeable.
Yes.
I don't think that she does presentations like this typically.
And maybe the girl that was there that was supposed to be steering her in the direction could have facilitated a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's just, that's a small criticism.
Yeah. And we really appreciate Shayna showing up and sharing her skills and finding these different people's, because she through using genetic genealogy, she finds people's relatives and stuff like that. And that can be really powerful. So,
and she does it for much less than most other people charge. So
yeah.
She's like the budget genealogist, but she's very good at it.
Because she believes in equal opportunity of it. She also does this on the side. This is not her primary job.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I thought that was her primary job. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. After we saw Shayna, the Jean Queen. We did one semester of law school.
One semester of criminal justice.
Two experts.
We got to see the Let's Go to Court live taping. So that was another thing I was very excited to see, but also one of the things that I that really ticked me off about the event and how things were run. Because, again, we were premium celebrities, which means that as people were lining up outside the venue, we could just go right up to the door and show our badges, and they'd be like, go right in, sit wherever you want.
Yes.
Which we did. And so this one, the front rows, again, same setup, were very well attended. Yeah. It was not full by any means, like the I Think Not live show.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but there was like quite a few people that showed up, which I was glad to see because I wanted people there to support Kristen and Randy.
Absolutely.
When we were trying to get to the doors, there was a line of people out the door and around the corner. And so when we're like, are you here to see Let's Go to Court? And she's like, yeah, you better go down there because the line ends way down there. So it was obvious there was a number of people lined up to get in. And so we're like, okay, great. We don't have to wait in this line. We thought there was a premium celebrity line that we had to stand in.
Yeah.
But she's like, no, you just go in. Okay, because so while we were looking for the premium celebrity line, we saw how many people were standing out there, and it was substantial. So we go, we sit down, and then we hear them announce Kristen and Brandy. While everybody was standing outside, it was literally like a few minutes from the time that we walked in and sat down that they announced them and they came onto stage. They were phenomenal. They were great. They had a cute video. They came on happy and entertaining as all get out like they normally are.
Yes.
But they didn't let the rest of the audience in. There was hundreds of people sitting outside who could hear the show starting and were understandably pissed, but they hadn't gotten the cue to open the doors. So in the middle of their introduction, Kristen and Brandy got to watch a flush of people coming in and filling in the seats as they were trying to perform, which is fucked.
Yeah, and then they basically had to start over again.
They had to start. Their sister stood up, Kyla, and said, hey, sorry, some people are still coming in. Why don't you play the video again that they did at the top of the show? And they did, and they handled it graciously. But I cannot even imagine how unnerving that must be to be nervous on the show, going in there, giving it your all, and be like, oh, wait, stop. You got to wait for these people to come in. Okay, now start again.
That totally would have thrown me off my game. They recouped exceptionally well.
They handled it beautifully.
Yeah.
Had a great show, but that's where I was like, okay, you guys need to get your shit together. Now this is starting to look like we don't know what's going on in the outskirts of whatever we're experiencing, but come on, that's a basic. You got to know when your shows are starting. You got to have your audience in the seats before you fucking start.
Yeah.
I don't feel strongly about this at all.
No. I've had a lot of room to talk, I've got to say. So, yes, Tamara is advocating very hard on behalf of LGTC, but seriously, the people who told them to go on stage and start should not have told them to go on stage and start. Let's Go to Court ended at 12:30.
At 1:45, apparently, or around that time, it's not concrete. All hell broke loose somewhere at the Obsessed Fest.
Oh, good times.
This is apparently, and this is via Reddit from Erica Bennett's very long, very thorough outline on the Obsessed with Obsessed Facebook page. And she got the time wrong because she stated that it was at 3:45 p.m., which was impossible because they had two events that were canceled before that. So well before 3:45, we're speculating about 1:45, a large crowd overheard Tara Newell, the woman who took down Dirty John and now runs a podcast with her boyfriend and fellow trauma survivor Collier Laundrie, emerging from an elevator while screaming, fuck you, bitch, at Ellen, who was apparently in the same elevator. And then Ellen basically smiled and kind of hurried away for her own safety.
Yeah.
Eventually, she asks for Tara and Collier to be removed from the premises, but that was declined. They were able to stay on the premises. They, in fact, removed Ellen and Joey's producer, one of Ellen and Joey's
producers. Trying to inform people who were in the line for the meet and greet that they weren't going to be able to make it.
Right. Because of the assault in the elevator, the lines were being told and that producer was escorted off the premises.
To be clear, the verbal assault.
The verbal assault. Yes. Yes. Thank you. And so that's kind of when we came out, and actually we were off the premises. We came back because Corinne was going to do the karaoke with Joey and Ellen.
I was so excited.
She had makeup on people. She had her dress on.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up to the main stage and there was nobody there. Like the doors were closed. It was like people were milling about, but I was like, I fully expected there to be a very long line, and it was crickets. And that's when we saw one of our other fellow attendees named Erica that was like, oh, you didn't hear what happened? And we're like, no. And then she basically told us the gist of what I just read.
Yeah. And Ellen posted on the I Think Not podcast page saying, hey, this happened. I didn't feel safe. They weren't willing to remove the people who did this. So Joey and I aren't finishing out what we were doing for Obsessed Fest. So they didn't do the meet and greet. They didn't do the karaoke. Not mad at them. It should be called mischief mismanagement instead of mischief management. Basically, it's so interesting to me because there were a lot of big feelings around Patrick and all of the drama that was going on and everything like that. And people were actually like behaving really politely, mm-hmm. really civilly. Like there could have been so many people yelling from crowds at Patrick and different things like that. And no, they weren't.
They were not.
Here are all these people who are paying to be at this event who are actually like, even though they may be angry or feeling like all kinds of feelings, they're not behaving in a disruptive way.
In a bad way.
And when one of the podcast co-hosts verbally assaults Ellen, it doesn't matter who it is, but that should be removal from the premises because they also didn't have any other thing that they needed to be at. And Ellen and Joey did. And so Ellen and Joey should have, particularly Ellen, but should have been made to feel safe under the circumstances. And that was not done.
And to be clear, you can also look at the other Reddit threads where they're speaking to what actually transpired in the elevator prior to the altercation, which was supposedly, this is all, you know,
hearsay.
Tara apparently told Ellen, like, you don't know how much chaos you've brought into my life. And she was putting on her shoes. And so she looked up and she thought she was a fan. And she said, I'm sorry, what's your name? And then Tara told her name, and then she thought incorrectly that she was just there as an attendee. When she realized who she was, she said, oh, hi, nice to meet you. And apparently Tara and Collier didn't like that I don't know if it was A, that they didn't get recognized, or B, that somebody that Ellen knew was trying to contact them for an interview. Apparently that happened, and they were upset about that. And for some reason, that escalated to Tara cursing out Ellen in the elevator. And Ellen said, I just smiled and I walked away quickly and I didn't want to be anywhere around them because I did not feel safe.
Yeah, understandably so. So, you know, a lot of speculation and mm-hmm. also regardless of that,
they still wanted to do the meet and greet. So they said, we will be in the hotel lobby. Anybody that wants to come meet us, please meet us there. We'll try to accommodate and see everyone.
Yes.
So when we left the karaoke, there was already a long line from the convention center to the hotel lobby. We weren't sure if we were in the right place. So I literally walked the line and everybody there was there to see Ellen and Joey. And mm-hmm. the line snaked around to the other side. So there was a line coming from the alternate side. Towards
and the Omni was like, girl, fuck no, this. We have a fire code here. Y'all need to take this outside. But they were very nice in accommodating and right. having us go to this fake lawn space across the
we were the in the very area. Back of the yeah. line. We were at the very back of the line. And so we had a really great vantage point to see Ellen and Joey like rushing down the escalators being like, holy shit. And they were whisked outside. A group of people tried to follow them, but their handlers were like, hey, we're going to try to get this meet and greet going. You guys go back inside, stay in line. Like, we're going to have to move it across the street because they said there's no way they can do it in the lobby because there were so many people.
Yeah.
So they basically ushered the group across the street to the grassy knoll and lined people up kind of in a serpentine line so we weren't like going out into the street. And Ellen and Joey graciously stood there and greeted everyone enthusiastically and warmly. And there was a ton of people. And they were on top of their game the whole time. We met them. Yeah. We took pictures, hence the prayer circle with Corinne. Because there's a post where it looks like you're having a prayer circle with...
All four of us are having a prayer circle together.
All four of us are having a prayer circle. Yeah. Me and Joey are having a very intimate hug while Corinne and Ellen hold their imaginary baby.
Yes.
Look at our social media for the pictures.
They were very gracious in doing that. They did not need to too. They totally could have
been like, fuck y'all, we're leaving.
Yeah.
Because they were justified.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's when the tide shifted, because people were like,
yes,
oh, hell no, we're on Team Ellen and Joey. Like, if they went through this and stayed and were like just being stand up people that were like, you guys paid for your tickets and we're going to try to give you what we can give you within our means of, you know, comfort and safety, then we're going to do that for you.
Yeah. And while I still feel very conflicted about Patrick, I debating on whether to go to the VIP Q&A with True Crime Obsessed, but I was planning on going to the True Crime Obsessed live show because I enjoy their podcast.
Me too.
And so, you know, I was looking forward to that. But as far as I figure, like, Patrick set the tone and is the figurehead for this thing. And while Mischief Management were the people who decided not to toss out Tara Newell, I believe that if the tone had been different, things would have been different for Ellen and Joey.
And then thereafter, throughout the duration of the event, we did not go to the Q&A or the live show, but I don't believe they ever addressed anything. I don't believe they said anything.
Yeah.
I don't believe we decided not to go because it was just a really bad taste left in our mouths.
Yeah.
And Joey and Ellen said during the garbage ball, they were going to go to the Roundup Saloon and have their own little like after party. Mind you, this was before the shit went down. They were planning on going to the Roundup Saloon. I think they were going to have their own little thing outside of the garbage ball. If anybody wanted to go hang with them, that was an option.
The garbage ball was a dance that Obsessed Fest was having in the evening, which seemed like it might be fun. And also going to a gay bar with Ellen and Joey, what's not
seems
fun
like
about
even
that?
More fun.
Yeah, exactly.
So everything kind of just fizzled from there. There was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of what the fuckiness. But again, people were still not being catty, not being rude.
Yeah.
The community, again, outstanding. The people attending, very, very gracious. We decided to go to the Roundup Saloon, but somebody told us that Ellen and Joey were there at 7 instead of 9. And she goes, they were there at 7. If you want to go, you should go early because they're already there. We got there after we had dinner at about 9:30 and everybody was pretty much gone.
Yeah.
So regardless of whether they got there, they did show up at the Roundup Saloon. They did spend time there. They were dancing and laughing. We saw people that had seen them there. But
yes,
by the time we got there at 9:30, there was neither hide nor hair of them. They might have still been there, but we were there for a good 40
I don't think that they were there.
I don't think
yeah.
they were either.
Yeah, but they were there through the beginning part of 9 o'clock. Yeah.
Yes, but we got there a little bit too late.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people were there. A lot of people had seen them, but a lot of people were there also looking for them and were probably like as disappointed as us, but also understandably so, because we were like, well, fuck that. I wouldn't want to be here either after everything that went down, having to sit through hours and hours of meeting people, navigating this really toxic, weird situation, and then having to go throw a party like nothing's
matter.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's whatever, more power to. I was upset that I didn't see him, but not upset like at them.
Yeah.
Just disappointed.
Yeah. So anyways, we went to the Roundup Saloon. We had an okay time. And then
the drinks are really cheap, cheaper than they were at the premium celebrity cocktail hour.
We did decide to go to the drag brunch the next day
because we wanted to support the drag queens.
Yes.
That was a hot ball of weirdness.
That was not managed well.
It was not managed well. And there was some, Jillian was sitting at the same table as Tara Newell, the one that assaulted Ellen. So even though nothing was said and it was kind of like, okay, maybe they're just trying to be not impartial on the circumstances, Patrick and Steve and everybody at the Obsessed Network, that was kind of like a, you knew where they stood.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she was not escorted off the premises and she was still there at the garbage ball and she was sitting at the front tables with all the main hosts, that was kind of telling on where they stood.
And Let's Go to Court made an announcement saying, hey, we wanted to go to the drag brunch, but we didn't feel that it was right under the circumstances.
And also there was a lot of other support from the other presenters and podcasters that were at the event, because there was a great picture of Ellen and Joey with a lot of the other fest participants taken in the men's bathroom, which was kind of like, okay, well, nobody's going to see us here. This is behind prying eyes. So they definitely had the support of most of the people and most of the presenters and podcasters that were at the fest, save for a choice few.
I got to say that because of our premium celebrity status, we're sitting towards the front.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two issues with. There was just the larger issue of how the drag performance was managed in the space. But one issue is that they put everybody in a wheelchair in a dark corner.
At the same table.
Yeah. Which I understand how logistically it could somewhat make sense, but it's...
One of the people that was in the wheelchair, Erica, yeah, she did not like it, and she felt like she was kind of like the pushed aside child that nobody wanted to see or talk about.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it was literally a dark corner. It was in the front, but it was the very off to the side dark corner. It was odd.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that just dampened my enjoyment was seeing Patrick getting up and dancing and just like being like, hey, yeah, drag brunch.
Nothing's happening outside of this room.
Yeah. And I was like, I want to hear something.
I wanted to hear something. I think a lot of people wanted to hear something. And even though the drag brunch was very well attended, there was about 25 or 30 tables in the back that were completely empty.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that those were ticketed purchases, yeah, because I doubt they would put the tables up and the food out for people that weren't going to show up.
Yeah. And while Patrick is getting up and dancing his little heart out, I'm like, I want you to address the situation. I want you to say something. And you have
anything.
It. Yeah.
You can just say like, we know what's going on and we want to get through this fest and we will address it more thoroughly.
Yeah.
Once everything dies down, we still want you guys to have a good time and enjoy yourselves, even though it's been a shit show after yesterday afternoon, but here we are. Let's look at the drag queens.
Patrick, say something. I'm giving up on you. Like, seriously.
And even though I thought the drag brunch was like a nice cap off, it again ended in a fart. In a sad trombone, because a couple of issues. It was supposed to be from 10 to 12.
Yeah.
That's what it said on the schedule. It ran to 12:30, which is fine. Some of the performers, you know, they had 10 performers, I want to say.
And I think they cut like one or two of the final performances, like the woman who was up on the stage who was...
Oh, was supposed to be a performer.
Yeah.
So they cut some of the, it was, again, poorly planned because the timing was off. Of course, it was a huge venue. So when the drag queens perform, they go around and they get the money.
Yeah.
And so it was maybe like 2 minutes of performance and then 7 minutes of them going around and getting the dollar while they were still entertaining. Mind you, don't get me wrong. They did a fabulous job with what they had. But my big bone of contention was, since it ran late at around 12 p.m., people were leaving en masse, and I could not figure out why. I was like, why the fuck? Yes, it's supposed to end at 12, but like, that's rude. Why are you guys all leaving in the middle of this performance? And then our friend Erica again came over and said, hey, I got to go too because I have to check out. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, if you're here and this is the last day you're here, you have to go check out.
Of your hotel.
So basically people had to leave in the middle of the performance to go check out. I'm not sure if they came back. I mean, I don't know. I didn't see a lot of people coming back.
But no.
It was just like that again. Must have felt shitty to the drag performers.
Yeah. So the room got emptier and emptier. And I don't know how they were doing the tips. But as far as the tips go or the cash tips go, the drag performers who performed last or not at all got cheated out of money that they would have made.
Yeah. And even though it was a good time and it was enjoyed by many people, that was another damper on the event. And then to have Patrick and Steve get up. They said that a couple of the people, like the actual podcasters that were sitting around Patrick, and again, this is unfounded, like once 12 o'clock hit, the people that were meant to be there, like that were like the presenters and performers and podcasters, like quite a few of them got up and left right at 12. Like, I've done what I needed to do. I'm getting out of here. Uh-huh. Or maybe they just had to check out of the hotel too.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that might have definitely been an option because that happened to probably about 30% of the audience.
Yeah.
Patrick and Steve got on stage and they did this really big, like, thank you. We all love you for attending. And don't worry, Obsessed Fest 3 is going to be even bigger and better. This was the best drag show ever, which it was not.
No.
And wait till next year to see what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So they announced that there is plans to be Obsessed Fest 3, even though the consensus about most of the attendees was they cannot have another one of this because, by golly, I doubt maybe 10% of the people attending this year would even bother to buy tickets for next year because it was not worth it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just don't want to be part of something that is being handled that way. But I mean, for me, honestly, it was worth it to come here.
It was definitely worth it.
All these amazing people.
True.
Get to see Let's Go to Court. The Wine and Crime ladies were fantastic. I loved their podcast episode recording. And the whole I Think Not show was amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah. So like, I felt like the connections that I made here were totally worth coming here. And the people made it worth it. But the leadership did not.
Right. And I, even though I didn't buy the tickets, I beg to differ. It's not my hat in the game, but if I had like purchased the premium Liberty passes, I would be fucking pissed because I basically lost like a bunch of events that I probably planned on going to. It put a damper on the experience. It wasn't handled appropriately. Mm-hmm. And now there's like a big backlash of people wanting some sort of compensation for what happened. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
You can't just have this big, ugly elephant in the room and not discuss it and not talk about it. And it made the whole thing weird.
Well, and particularly when on your podcast, you talk about how important accountability was literally in the episode that was the Wednesday before Obsessed Fest. Patrick was talking about how important accountability was in regards to the case that they were or the show that they were doing. But it doesn't matter, you know, whether you're a criminal or whether you're just acting shitty, like accountability is important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so I think that's the recap of our of our Obsessed Fest experience. Corinne, how many dry kisses would you give this Obsessed Fest experience?
I give it the Hallmark 3.
What's the Hallmark 3?
You know, the Hallmark movies, usually they're not that great and they're bad, but they're like easy to watch and you kind of enjoy them, right? Mm. And so the Hallmark 3 Dry Kiss is amazing people, like great connections. That was five dry kisses. And then on the 1 to 0 dry kiss is shitty advocacy, bad leadership, and bad management. That's like 0. But like the people and everything else, we bring it back to the 3 dry kiss.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 2 dry kisses on my end.
Yeah.
Because the community and the experience, especially the people here.
Yeah.
The people here, like the podcasters that did show up, the presenters that did show up and did the best that they could.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people that came here for the experience and did what they were supposed to do, like made it fabulous. And I feel like it could have been so much better and so just more meaningful had the shit not hit the fan. And then all of us splattered with the aftermath of that shit going, what happened? I feel like mom and dad just got a divorce and we're not supposed to talk about it.
And I just give the biggest props to Ellen and Joey for acting with such grace, showing up, like being there for the fans and doing their thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then that's just
in a very stressful situation.
A very stressful situation.
Yeah.
And they handled themselves beautifully.
Yeah.
I do have to say, I was kind of more TCO listening to that consistently than I was with I Think Not. And it's definitely absolutely the opposite. I Think Not. I'm going to be a full-fledged fan because of how fabulous those people were.
Yeah. Well, in TCO, I'm like, I'm not going to listen to them anymore unless there's
something.
And so far there has not been a something. So
and to be clear, there's a lot of people that were here that were like, fuck it. We're still TCO fans.
Yeah.
Die hard. And that's fine too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You love who you love and you accept what you accept, but I'm just wah, I'm going to take my sad swag bag home and think about what I've done here. Yeah. you want to see, I'm going to put quite a few pictures of the event on our social media. And I'm also going to try to include like things from different perspectives, like the drag brunch from the front versus from the back. Cause somebody posted a picture of the drag brunch that was like, it was completely empty. And I was like, no, it wasn't.
Yeah.
There was a lot of empty tables, but there was a lot of people in the front, and the same thing's happening like all over. Oh, look, nobody went to the garbage ball. No, quite a few people did go to the garbage ball. Like, let's not spin false narratives on this.
Yeah.
So we're absolutely just doing this show because we're here, because we have feelings, and we want to be completely transparent, like Ellen and Joey, about what we saw and what we felt and what we experienced.
Yes. Thank you for joining us. And what do we have coming up next week, Tam?
And next week, we're going to have a shitty 80s movie called Teen Witch that you're not going to want to miss. So it's probably one of our best episodes. And we hope if you enjoyed our feedback that you will give us a listen next week. And with that, we bid you adieu with
one dry kiss.
Mwah! See you next time.
See you next time. End of the world as we know it.